resources to address the policy's social impact, particularly on low-income households and people who rent their homes, Germany has said. The British government is going to face the same dilemma if it pushes the cost of carbon emissions onwards to customers, many of whom are on low incomes and already struggling to pay heating bills. Berlin said the reforms to the European Union's carbon market should prolong free carbon permits to an appropriate extent, but end them soon for aviation, the document showed. Analysts have said that to comply with World Trade Organization WTO rules, the European Union must phase out free permits when it introduces a carbon border levy on imported goods.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Euzubillahimineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to Heavenly Grief. We'd like to send our condolences to all the Shias around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your grief and sorrow on Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, for these are the days of his martyrdom. Now, we were with Sayyid Ali Musawi al-Jazairi, our guest, and we were talking about the life of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and the way we should look at it. And for those who tuned in, you guys already know. For those who don't know, we were talking about that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was the most knowledgeable man of his time in the Islamic world, even more the entire world. And that goes to prove that he is the righteous ruler of his time, because the state should not be separated from religion, and religion needs a school of thought, of course. And we were talking about this a saying. Of course, it was a Shia source. It was Sheikh al-Saduq who narrated the saying that Abu Hanifa, one of the famous school of thoughts, the jurist school of thoughts of Ahlus Sunnah, claimed that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is the most knowledgeable man available. Now, Sayyidina, we want to move on from Shia sources. Are there any Sunnah sources that prove that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was the most knowledgeable man available?
Yes, okay, thank you. First, let me say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brother Habib. I'm so glad and happy to be with you one more time.
It's an honor and pleasure.
Thank you very much. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters across the world. First, I have to offer my condolences to the Imam of our time, the awaited Savior. May God hasten his reappearance and return. And then to you, all of the followers of Ahlul Bayt. I hope that by the grace and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be able to have a beneficial and advantageous program today, inshallah. Okay, yes, the narration that I brought up, which contained the acknowledgement of Abu Hanifa regarding the fact that Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is the most knowledgeable of his time, was narrated in the precious book of Ilal al-Shara'i, authored by Al-Shaykh al-Saduq. As you mentioned the fact, a Sunni brother may have this remark that this is a resources from Tashayyur, from Shia resources, and it's available and it's authentic for you and it doesn't prove anything for us. Okay, so I want to attract your attention to a narration which exclusively has been narrated in a very authentic authority of Ahlul Sunnah, and it hasn't been narrated in Shia resources unless from the very Sunni authority. The person who relates this narration is Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi, the author of the great and famous book of Siyar al-A'lam al-Nubala. Actually, he has lots of books. One of his famous books is Siyar al-A'lam al-Nubala. He is a prominent figure for Ahlul Sunnah, and he is a greatly respected historian, jurist, theologian, traditionist, and biographer of the narrators of the traditions in the world of Ahlul Sunnah. He is very well known among Ahlul Sunnah as an authentic authority in different branches of Islamic and religious knowledge. So they call him Allamah, a master in different branches of Islamic knowledge. In terms of legal system of thought, he is a Shafi'i, and as a matter of fact, in terms of theological beliefs, he is a Hanbali, and his anti-Shia inclinations and opinions are evident in his different books. For example, in the book of Ad-Durratul Yatima fi Sirat ibn Taymiyyah wa Mizanul I'tidal fi Naqd al-Rijal. In the book of Siyar al-A'lam al-Nubala, in the sixth volume, this book actually is published in 23 volumes. Mm. It's a great book. In the sixth volume, when he's speaking about At-Tabaqatul Khamisatu min At-Tabi'in, the fifth generation of the Prophet's companions, he specifically makes a reference to Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this part of this book is a very good resource, authentic resource for Ahlul Sunnah to refer and read the opinions of this great scholar Al-Dhahabi regarding Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In this part, in the page 257 and 258, he narrates a narration from Abu Hanifa himself, bringing the complete chain of narrators of this riwayah. So the first narrator
of the hadith or the narration.
Narration. Riwayah. The first narrator of this hadith and narration is Abu Hanifa himself, who this actually event has taken place for himself. And the last narrator is Al-Dhahabi, this actually authentic authority in Ahlul Sunnah's world. First, I read the text of this narration, and then after reading the text, I will have some actually commentary over this tradition, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Hassan ibn Ziyad says, سمعت أبا حنيفة وسئل من أفقه من رأيت.
Who's the most knowledgeable that you have seen?
Abu Hanifa is asked this question. The narrator says, I heard from Abu Hanifa that he said, I was questioned that, who is the most knowledgeable man in religion whom you've ever met? فقال جعفر بن محمد. He said, Ja'far, the son of Muhammad. ثم قال لما أقدمه المنصور إلى الحيرة بعث إلي وقال when Mansur al-Dawaniqi, the second caliph, the second Abbasid caliph, brought al-Imam al-Sadiq into the city of Hira, which was and is a city next to Kufa. He called me and told me, Mansur al-Dawaniqi called
talking
me
to Abu Hanifa.
Yes. Ya Abu Hanifa, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ فُتِنُوا بِجَعْفَرِ ابْنِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
People have fallen in love or...
Of course.
Yeah, fallen in love with Imam Sadiq.
فَهَيِّئْ لَهُ مِنْ مَسَائِلِكَ الشِّدَادِ. Oh, Abu Hanifa, indeed the people have become infatuated, fascinated, enchanted by Ja'far, the son of Muhammad. Prepare for him your most difficult and your most complicated questions. فَهَيَّئْتُ لَهُ أَرْبَعِينَ مَسْأَلَةً.
To embarrass him at the end of the day,
of course,
to try to belittle him.
Of course. So I prepared for him 40 questions. ثُمَّ بَعْثَ إِلَيَّ فَأَتَيْتُهُ وَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَإِذَا جَعْفَرْ جَالَسٌ عَنْ يَمِينَهِ. Abu Hanifa says, one day he called me, Al-Mansur called me. I went to him. When I arrived at him, I found Ja'far sitting on his right. فَلَمَّا بَصَرْتُ بِهِ دَخَلَنِي مِنَ الْهَيْبَةِ لِجَعْفَرْ مَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْنِي لِأَبِي جَعْفَرْ. As soon as I noticed him, Ja'far ibn Muhammad,
his fear went inside his heart.
Of course. His dignity, his grandeur and majesty awed me into silence much more than that of Abu Ja'far, which
charisma,
means...
charisma, you could say.
Yes, of course. سَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَأَوْمَا إِلَيَّ فَجَلَسْتُ. I greeted him, I greeted Mansur, and he pointed at me, so I sat down. ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ إِلَى الصَّادِقِ وَقَالَ لَهُ. Mansur looked at Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and told him, Ya Abu Abdullah, هذا Abu Hanifa. قال أعرفه. He said to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, this is Abu Hanifa, and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam told him, I know him. ثم التفت إلي فقال يا أبا حنيفة ألق على أبي عبد الله من مسائلك. Then he attended to me and told me, O Abu Hanifa, bring up some questions to Abu Abdullah. فجعلت ألقي عليه فيجيبني فيقول أنتم تقولون كذا وأهل المدينة يقولون كذا ونحن نقول كذا. I started asking my questions. Immediately he started answering me in this way, with regards to this matter, you, the people of Kufa, say this.
Ahlul Medina,
the people of Medina
and
say that.
And we state this.
And we, the household of the Prophet, say that. فَرُبَمَا تَابَعَنَا وَرُبَمَا تَابَعَهُمْ وَرُبَمَا خَالَفَنَا جَمِيعًا. In some cases he agreed with us, the people of the Kufa. In some cases he agreed with the people of Medina. And in some cases he disagreed with both of us. حَتَّى أَتَيْتُ عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ مَسْأَلَةً فَمَا أَخَلَّ بِشَيْءٍ. Until I asked him all of my 40 questions, and he answered all of these questions. ثُمَّ قَالَ أَبُو حَنِيفَةً. This is the point that I wanted to reach. ثُمَّ قَالَ أَبُو حَنِيفَةً أَلَيْسَ إِنَّ أَعْلَمَ النَّاسِ أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِاخْتِلَافِ النَّاسِ. Isn't it true that the most knowledgeable of the people is the one who knows their disagreements more and better than anyone else? You see, I have my opinion. Every question someone asks me, I am able to answer him. But if I am able to answer him, and I know your opinion, and I know his opinion, and I am able to compare between these opinions and put the finger of, for example, this objection and this opinion and reject this and prove this, it means that you are the most knowledgeable of the people. So Abu Hanifa in this case, after he saw this occurrence, this event,
had to submit to the knowledge of Imam Sadiq.
Yes, of course. He said he is the most knowledgeable of the people because he is aware of all opinions,
the differences between the
opinions. Now I want to mention three points regarding this tradition.
Thank you very much, Sayyidina. We have to take a short break, brothers and sisters. Please stay tuned to Heavenly Grief. We would like again to send our condolences to all the Shias around the world for these the days of anniversary of martyrdom of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Thank you guys for joining us again on Heavenly Grief. We were talking with Sayyid Ali Musawi Al-Jazairi, and of course we were talking about proving the knowledge of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam from Sunni sources and Sunni figures themselves. Them themselves accepting and submitting to the fact that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was the most knowledgeable man of his time. And we finished the beautiful saying that our brother researched for. And he brought it from Siyar A'lam al-Nubala, the history of the noble men by Al-Allama al-Dhahabi. And we finished off the saying, Sayyidina. And you said before the break that we wanted to add three points to the saying. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the mic.
Thank you very much, my brother Habib. Yes, despite the fact that the age of Mansur al-Dawaniqi was the age of knowledge and science,
was an open door for all schools of thought.
Of course. And there were numerous and multiple great scholars living in different places within the great and huge territory of Mansur's empire. But why Abu Abdullah al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, was targeted by Mansur to be humiliated and belittled like this. Because I said previously that the common objective of our 12 infallible imam was to establish this fact in the society that the position of the authority in Islamic knowledge and sciences is not separable from the position of political and social authority and rulership and guardianship. Yes. So they actually were very firm to establish this principle within the society and in the minds of the people. And after that, after establishing this general rule, they tried their best to prove that they are the ones who are the most knowledgeable of their time. So, if both premises, the major premise was what that regulation, inseparability of the political and social position of authority from the spiritual and scientific authority, if this major premise and the minor premise, the instance of this rule and regulation, which is our infallible, which are our infallible a'imma, had been proved, what would be the result? What would have been the result? The empire and the caliphate of the caliph
would crumble.
Would crumble. Would be in danger. The danger actually was, this danger was felt by Mansur al-Dawaniqi. Because of that, he held some such a session to humiliate and to prove that no, Abu Hanifa is more knowledgeable than Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. But he willed something, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed something else. The result was totally vice versa, according to the acknowledgement of Abu Hanifa when he said, أَلَيْسَ إِنَّ أَعْلَمَ النَّاسِ أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِاخْتِلَافِ النَّاسِ. He's the more knowledgeable because he has his opinion and he's aware of my opinion and the opinions of other scholars as well.
So at the end of the day, like how the verse states, they try to turn off the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always wants, lets his light shine.
Of course, it is like this. This is the first point. The second point is that Abu Hanifa says to, Mansur al-Dawaniqi says to Abu Hanifa, إِنَّ النَّاسِ قَدْ فُتَنُوا بِجَعْفَرِ ابْنِ مُحَمَّدِ. He doesn't say, Shi'at فُتَنُوا بِجَعْفَرِ ابْنِ مُحَمَّدِ or Rawafid مثلاً فُتَنُوا بِجَعْفَرِ ابْنِ النَّاسِ. النَّاسِ in the Arab literature in that time means عَمَّةُ النَّاسِ, the people, the public.
Yeah.
And the public were Ahlul Sunnah in that time.
Yes.
It means that Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was able to attract people
from various beliefs, from various worldwide views, ideologies, and so on.
Not by the power of his divine leadership. I am his Shia. I believe in his divine leadership. I'm attracted by this divine leadership. Everything he says, I say, yes, I submit to you, I obey you. But the Ammatunnas, the Annas, the public is not like this.
The normal public.
It means that Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was influential over the people with his great spiritual and ethical manner, was able to persuade people through intellectual and logical and reasonable ways of thoughts and actually arguments. This is the second point. And the third and the last point is that when Abu Hanifa enters the meeting which Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is present there beside Mansur al-Dawaniqi, he says, فَلَمَّا بَسَرْتُ بِهِ دَخَلَنِي مِنَ الْهَيْبَ لِجَعْفَرِ مَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْنِي لِأَبِي جَعْفَرِ. It's narrated in history that some of the assistants of Mansur al-Dawaniqi, some of his workers who every day were able to meet him, whenever they came out of his palace, they were shaking from the fear from Mansur al-Dawaniqi. He had a great palace, a huge palace, lots of workers, lots of guards, lots of security guards. He had a great majesty and grandeur within the eyes of the people. But Abu Hanifa says, when I entered the majlis, the meeting, and I noticed Ja'far ibn Muhammad, his majesty and his spiritual charisma and actually grandeur awed me more than that of Abu Ja'far, which is Mansur al-Dawaniqi. And this acknowledgement of Abu Hanifa means that he had a great, great spiritual status and position within the eyes of the people, even in the eyes of Abu Hanifa himself.
Now, of course, this is just from one scholar, actually, from Abu Hanifa. And of course, I think that Abu Hanifa was a student for Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the famous quote, "Lawla sanatan lahalaka al-Na'man." If it wasn't for the 2 years, then the Na'man would have been crumbled or destroyed.
Yes.
So, why did you choose this? I want to ask this like a sort of personal question. Why did you choose Abu Hanifa?
Because, you know, Abu Hanifa is a person, an individual who is agreed upon by all of Ahlul Sunnah. You see, he has a great personality within the history of Ahlul Sunnah. He is the teacher of lots of scholars who are the establisher and founder of other denominations in Ahlul Sunnah. All of Ahlul Sunnah are believing that he's the most knowledgeable scholar of his time. Because of that, I chose this figure. He is the one who admits and confesses that Ja'far ibn Muhammad is more knowledgeable than me.
Of course, this wouldn't be the last time that they meet. There are a lot of sayings, especially in the Shia sources, about the argument of qiyas or analogy, or
yes,
and using it in the system. A lot of stories as well.
Yes.
And also with the son of Imam al-Sadiq, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, that famous story. So, at the end of the day, why wouldn't Abu Hanifa submit altogether? Because, you know, saying that this person is knowledgeable is one thing, but then following him is another thing.
Actually, I read a narration in which there was a reference to this point that you said. After some questions and answers that were exchanged between Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and Abu Hanifa about this matter that you mentioned about qiyas, Abu Hanifa confesses that it is not the right way of going through theological and jurisprudential matters and questions and problems. It is not a correct way.
But he has no other way.
But Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says to him, because of hubbur ra'asa, because of hubbur ra'asa, you love being superior over others.
Your love of being superior.
You won't leave this matter that you have, although that you are confessing that it's not right and it is wrong right now.
Thank you very much, Sayyidina, and your research has been very beneficial for us, and I hope it has been for the viewers as well.
Inshallah.
Brothers and sisters, thank you very much. We again would like to send our condolences to you and to all the Shia around the world, even to Muslims around the world, for we have lost one of the greatest scholars, one of the greatest noblemen to ever walk on this earth. It was Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the son of Muhammad al-Baqir, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Thank you for joining us on Heavenly Grief. From now until another show, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your grief and sorrow and worships, and please do not forget us from your prayers. From now until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and we start today by contemplating upon a valuable piece of advice from the Prophet's sixth infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him. Three characteristics bring about hatred, that is, hypocrisy, oppression, and self-conceit.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Light.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc in India, some auto rickshaw drivers have turned their three-wheelers into makeshift ambulances to provide patients with first aid services.
Those are patients.
Okay. In New Delhi, the municipal ambulances are often occupied. There are also some very narrow alleys or built-up areas that are inaccessible by regular-sized ambulances. In these cases, our makeshift ambulances came in handy then. We attend to people in need with oxygen cylinders.
Mishra, who started the Rickshaw Ambulance Initiative, says his center attends around 1,200 calls per day. He says rickshaw volunteers transport roughly 150 patients during peak hours. The brave drivers work 12-hour shifts and mainly serve people with mild symptoms. They wear full protective gear, including face shields, while on duty. The three-wheeler ambulances are easily identifiable by the large printed image of the fleet and emergency call numbers. Mishra says the fleet will continue running with all its might until the coronavirus is under full control in India. In Russia, drone enthusiasts have gathered in the capital, Moscow, to show off their technological creativity in a racing competition. The participants created their own drones and made changes to the models right on the site where the competition was held to improve their chances to win the contest. The goal was for the participants to complete the track in the shortest possible time. Participants say the interesting thing about the competition is that it's cheaper than other games.
It's a lot of fun. From the outside, it may not be so clear, but when you're inside it, it becomes really fun to talk, race with the competitors, learn from their experience some new technological things. As for the high cost, it is expensive, but when compared with the snowboards and skis, it is really cheaper, but more expensive than knitting.
In 2017, the International Federation of Aeronautics, or FAI, announced drone racing as an official sport. In 2018, Russia's sports ministry included drone racing in all Russian register of sports with a class code F3U following the FAI classification. Nowadays, phone addiction is causing an increasing number of accidents worldwide. A Korean engineer has come up with a creative, although satirical, way to tackle that issue. Pang Min-wung is a 28-year-old industrial designer. He has invented a robotic eyeball people can wear to avoid accidents when using their phones while walking. The device is strapped to the forehead and opens its eyelids when the users lower their heads. The third eye then beeps in warning when the user comes within 1 or 2 meters of an obstacle. Peng says his device is not a solution to the issue and hopes that people will understand the severity of their reliance on gadgets when they see the third eye.
A science professor has released spectacular drone footage of lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Sørensen Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country. Two Russian cosmonauts have conducted spacewalk outside the International Space Station to prepare an old docking module for disposal. The duo spent more than 7 hours outside the ISS to wrap up preparations for the eventual disposal of the Pris docking compartment. According to NASA officials, the Russian cargo freighter will remove the two-decade-old module from the orbiting laboratory later this summer. Both the cargo ship and a Pris will burn up in the atmosphere above the Pacific Ocean. The orbiting Pris will clear the way for the arrival of a new Russian multipurpose laboratory module named Nuka, meaning science in Russian. Nuka is scheduled to launch on July the 15th this year. Wednesday's operation was the sixth spacewalk in 2021 in support of the Space Station Assembly, maintenance, and upgrades.
A rare albino baby elephant that was rescued from poachers in South Africa has found a new home with a welcoming herd. The calf, named Han Yisa, was caught in a snare in the Kruger National Park when she was only 4 months old. She suffered several nasty wounds, including one to her mouth. Han Yisa remained trapped in the snare for 4 days before being rescued and taken to a shelter especially built for elephants northeast of Johannesburg. All the other elephants there are orphans too.
Each female that we had has a baby. So except for them, all of the others are orphaned. And I think that is part of the reason why they accept these orphans, because they know how it feels, you know, and they become actually, you know, the mother figures for them.
The calf has learned to adapt to the new life. She lies under the shadow cast by bigger elephants to protect herself from getting sunburned. The shelter says if the herd grows too big for the area, she and other elephants will be released into the wild.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A Brazilian artist has found a way to reuse plastic bags in a very creative way, making something beautiful out of them. Eduardo Sroa turns recycled shreds of plastic into real pieces of artwork. He picks up the material from city streets and rivers. Without using a drop of paint, Sroa recreates paintings by Picasso, Van Gogh, and other famous artists. He says his goal is to draw attention to plastic pollution.
I present this series as a product that does not have paint, except for what has already been processed into plastic by the industry. It does not have glue. It is a box that was built, and inside I press and condense it. I make an accumulated cluster of plastic bags that ends up creating this image that you see.
Sura's exhibition is due to open in Sao Paulo in the coming months. His previous works were also aimed at raising awareness about the environment. He has created several giant installations in public places, mostly along polluted rivers.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure, deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries. It consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high, with a zun, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size, with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiandu ruins. A Chinese man becomes the first blind Asian mountaineer to successfully scale the world's tallest peak, the Mount Everest. Zhang Hong completed the 8,849-meter high Himalayan feat with three high-altitude guides. The 46-year-old climber said he spent much of his trek holding onto his guide's arm. The pair said the most tiresome and risky areas were the so-called death zones, ice walls, and ice falls at around 8,000 meters. The Chinese climber recalled humbly embracing being part of Mother Nature after he completed his arduous journey.
No matter if you're disabled or normal, whether you have lost your eyesight or you have no legs or hands, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a strong mind, you can always complete anything that other people think you can't.
Zhang added that this is only the beginning. He said his next milestone is climbing the highest peaks from the world's continents known as the Seven Summits. The Chinese mountaineer lost his eyesight at the age of 21. After his success, he became the third visually impaired person to ever step foot on the Everest peak. A Russian company has developed a fully self-driving car that looks like it was taken right out of a sci-fi movie. Flip is the size of a conventional passenger car and has enough space for six people. Its creator says the advanced vehicle is a taxi of the future. Flip has fulfilled the requirements of international automated driving standards. It's powered by electricity, but it can also use other fuels like gas and hydrogen. The owners of this futuristic vehicle do not have to worry about running out of power. That's because its replaceable batteries can be changed in less than 5 minutes once they are out of electricity. A rare baby giraffe is born in a zoo in western France as conservationists try to increase the population of this endangered species. The cute Rothschild giraffe is the second born in a French zoo this year. Caretakers say the cubs will stay with the facility for 1 year before they would be sent to another site to start their own families. The Rothschild giraffes are critically endangered, and conservationists say that only 1,600 of them exist now. The general giraffe populations in the wild have also decreased by around 30% in the last three decades.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
Now, the iconic Eiffel Tower in Paris has been illuminated for the first time using electricity produced from certified renewable hydrogen. In an amazing show, hydrogen-generated lights were projected onto the tower's frames, displaying various patterns and designs, making viewers ecstatic. It's a dream project of a French company based in the city of Saint-Malo. The company wanted to make the most recognizable landmark a showcase for its carbon-free technology. The objective is to bring more awareness of renewable energy to the public. The nightly event will continue until May the 30th. Countries around the world are investing a lot to develop hydrogen-related technologies.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friend. You are with IRIB English Radio and today's special. Our topic is the wisdom behind calamities. Today, Monday, is the 26th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter and sharah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألم نشرح لك صدرك.
Did we not expand for you, O Muhammad, your breast?
ووضعنا عنك وزرك.
And we removed from you your burden.
الذي أنقض ظهرك.
Which had weighed upon your back.
ورفعنا لك ذكرك.
And raised high for you your repute.
فإن مع العسر يسرا.
For indeed, with hardship will be ease.
إن مع العسر يسرا.
Indeed, with hardship will be ease.
فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ.
So when you have finished your duties, then stand up for worship.
وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ.
And to your Lord, direct your longing.
رحمن يا رحمن ساعدني يا رحمن اشرح صدري قرآن
The role is general and for all. They encourage the pure Muslim believers to know and be sure that whatever difficulties or troubles are encountered by men, Allah always provides a solution, a way out, a relief, a way to lead to ease and happiness. Moreover, the solution or relief does not merely come after the difficulty, it is provided with it. It is the glad tidings or promise of Allah that enlightens the heart, makes it hopeful for triumph, and clears man's soul of the dirt of its hopelessness.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Our topic is about calamities and disasters in life. Dear friend, calamities and disasters are a test, and they are a sign of Allah's love for a person, because they are like medicine. Even though it is bitter, despite its bitterness, you give it to the one whom you love. And for Allah is the highest description. It is said, the greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. When Allah loves a person, He tests him. Whoever accepts that wins His pleasure, but whoever is discontent with that earns His wrath. Calamities are good for the believer in the sense that reward is stored up for him the hereafter thereby. How can it be otherwise when he is raised in a status thereby and his bad deeds are expiated? The Prophet said, when Allah wills good for His servant, He hastens the punishment for him in this world. And when Allah wills ill for His slave, He withholds the punishment for his sins from him until He comes with all his sins on the day of resurrection. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to deal with how to come up with calamities and sorrows. In the Islamic culture and in Muslim practices, we find that at such times, such sorrowful times and experience, we find that recounting the calamities that were imposed on the infallibles, on the Prophet and the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and shedding tears in this way contributes to the psychological health and stability of the person who has experienced the sorrowful experience of the death of one of his beloveds. At the same time, we find that those people who receive the sad news of the death of such people, for a short period of time, for some moments or for some first hours, they cannot believe, or they tell themselves that the news is absolutely false. But when they receive this this experience and come to the reality, to find out that the reality was something totally different, and the reality was as it was. It's much better, for those people who are around it to go to them and to try to calm them.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Success in the light of calamities. In the roaring sea of life, there are storms as well as mountain high waves. The high-rise waves of incidents and accidents try to block the path of great people. The remarkable point is that the existence of difficulties is one of the causes of success. Some people do not realize that easily, but if they think over it, they would realize that just as the heat of fire strengthens steel, difficulties and hardships make the imagination and thinking of men more sharp and teach him the lesson of living. Strong and powerful people are those who were brought up amidst difficulties and hardships because they alone know how to cope up with adversities. But those who are nourished in comfort and ease are like delicate and tender flowers which fall down even by a cold whiff of breeze.
Oh, 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 oh.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. And now, the wisdom behind calamities. Calamities provide an opportunity to think about one's faults and shortcomings and past mistakes. Because if it is a punishment, what was the sin? They demonstrate the true nature of people, for there are people whose virtue is unknown until calamity strikes. As long as people are doing fine, their true nature is concealed. But when calamity strikes, their true nature are revealed. So the believer resorts to his faith, and hypocrite resorts to his hypocrisy. Another reason behind calamities and hardship is that a person becomes able to distinguish between true friends and friends who only have their own interests at heart.
If we only understand this golden law, when we encounter difficulties in our life, we will not complain. It would be funny for you to complain about the difficulties and problems of your life. If a student goes to class, and in the middle of the class, while he's taking the test, he complains to the professor. He keeps on complaining. You know what? This is requiring efforts on my part. I really need to use my brain for this problem. This is taking stress and energy out of me. What would the professor tell him? He'll tell him, you know what? Isn't that why you came here in the first place? It doesn't make sense for someone to complain. If you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you in difficulty, the next time when you're faced with a problem, with a difficulty, don't say to yourself, what's going wrong here? What have I done wrong? This is what we're created for. In fact, if a while passes in your life and you see that there are no difficulties, then you should be asking, what's wrong in my life? Of course, I'm not telling you or encouraging you to create problems in your lives. As a believer, we need to approach our problems with sincerity, with faith, and to try to solve them as much as we can.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special, may Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com www.irib.org/en.
Thank you.